I'd feel bad if I interrupted it before we got to that part. I mean, I feel like, you know, they're just, you got to have a little bit of respect for the music. 6:37 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator, and she joins us now. Janice, welcome back to the program.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. This is one of those weird days where, for the first time in as long as I can remember, we have you on and there's no meeting today.
That's right.
It seemed like we were just having them all the time. Well, which is fine. You know, good business to be done. Let's just start with the storm. I know my personal experience with the storm was very moderate. I mean, our power flickered a couple of times. I got a bunch of friends who've got power out, and I'm kind of hearing some of these reports. You live sort of towards the north end, and you've driven. What did happen yesterday with regards to this storm?
Yeah, so we're very, very fortunate. You know, the good news is that we didn't take a huge impact from the storm. However, you know, those without electricity, you know, clearly feel the impact. We did have gusts up to about 70 miles per hour recorded in the north end. But I did want to say that no bridges were closed. We didn't have sustained winds over 40 miles an hour. EMS and fire ran all night long. We know that there's about 7,000, just around a little over 7,000 that are out with Gulf Power. And then I know Escambia River Electric Co-op has also notified that they've got 5,000 to 6,000 that are out, which they only have about 12,000 or so customers. So that's a considerable amount for them. However, they're really efficient, and I expect they'll get that back on. What I would say is that also I understand that there are 4 schools that have electricity out. So those, you know, I think it was a good call by the superintendent to probably not have school today. However, as you know, Pensacola State College, UWF, Pensacola Christian Academy, and I mean Pensacola Christian College, right, and then also the county is all open. So
yeah, no, I agree. And in fact, you know, it's one of those things where when the superintendent can never win, right? I mean, you make the call to not close things, and then something bad happens. So then it's kind of like with Skanska, just, you know, trying to be precautionary, and then you close the schools, and everybody's like, what happened? Nothing happened. Santa Rosa didn't close their school. Well, you don't know what's going to happen in advance, and we were talking yesterday about tornadoes. So this gives them a day to investigate and make sure that everything is safe, which apparently in a couple of cases, that turns out to be a pretty good thing. So did we see – the north end is one area I was concerned about. Obviously, a lot of people lost power up there. The roads are relatively clear, though. What I saw was a lot of pine straw, which is good news because that's coming off of the trees waiting to be collected still. But that's good news if that's the major stuff that you're seeing. Is that also what you saw a lot of?
So we do know of about 6 roads that had trees across them. Okay. I just got a report maybe of another road. So, but our crews have already cleared 4 or 5 of those roads. And so they're predominantly Cantonment North.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the good news. And they are arterial. They're not, I mean, they are the side roads, the feeder roads, more so than the main arteries. So, you know, hopefully, and if a resident has, you know, trees down on their road, please give a call to our CIC and our Citizens Information Center and let us know. You know, that you need that assistance.
Absolutely.
Because our crews are already out. They've already been out.
Do we know yet, and I know it's early, we haven't had light yet, but do we know yet anything about how the beach did, either Perdido side or Santa Rosa Island side?
We don't, but I've already had conversations with our folks to make sure that our team gets out there and starts looking at that.
All right, very
so
good.
So hopefully we didn't have a lot more erosion. You know, that's just always a concern when we spend $12 to $14 million every 5 to 6, you know, 8 years trying to provide that, you know, that beach frontage. It's really disheartening to see it erode fairly quickly in a storm or two. And so, you know, unfortunately, that's a big expense to the taxpayers whenever that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet the reason we do it is because we know it is such a big economic driver for us as well. Speaking of Johnson Beach and Perdido area, I'm just curious, has the oil and or the non-oil biological black stuff, has that all been cleaned, mostly been cleaned? Do you happen to know?
I don't know. And the reason is, you know, as I think I mentioned before, the Coast Guard is the one that's responsible for that mission. Whenever that happens, the county and the state have kind of been taken out of that. That was part of the settlement, if I understand correctly, with the Deepwater Horizon. And so the federal government is the one that, you know, then has responsibility for
they
that.
Kinda, they do their thing. Okay, that makes perfect sense. So one of the things that's come up in terms of issues here locally is when the school board had their most recent meeting, they were talking about growth, and the superintendent specifically, but also Kevin Adams said, and others echoed the call, because of growth in Beulah in District 1, there's going to be the need for more schools, especially in elementary school. What they've been asking for is to put a school on the grounds of OLF 8, which just hadn't really been considered previously. Let's talk a little bit about that, first of all. That process, the SHREDS process, is done. What happens now in terms of the recommendations and the input and the designs with OLF 8? What happens now?
Well, I mean, I would say that they haven't completely finished. They may have finished the conversation with the community, but there hasn't been a final product or products provided to the county commission.
Right.
And just to go back to the school real quick, what I would say is that I absolutely fully expect the county commission to take every consideration from the school board in terms of their request for, you know, a portion of that property for a school. I think that'll be a very easy conversation. Once it's provided, I think that's when, you know, you'll have more discussion on it. But I mean, once it's presented, publicly in a public forum, I think you'll have more discussion on it, but I don't expect that to be a very difficult conversation between the two boards. We have gotten an official letter in writing from the school district. So, you know, I think it would be very hard for anyone to deny the fact that you are going to need that kind of school. And, you know, back when we used to have concurrency, these conversations were a little bit easier because, you know, concurrency required that all the infrastructure and all those other things were part of the conversation. Now, that's the only thing that makes the conversation a little bit more difficult, in that you have to make sure that all that infrastructure is in place, who pays for it, you know, what's the amount of ingress and egress, and right, you know, all those things. So that's the only thing that really makes the conversation more cumbersome.
Yeah, and of course, you know, they're feeling like they were left out, and they start talking about impact fees, and you know, well, I mean, you know, let's all talk and let's see if we can't find a solution. I'm sure we can find some good solution. But that does bring me to one of the other questions about that area and growth, which came up in the meeting, and I thought it was an interesting observation. I hadn't been thinking as much about it, but when the Beulah interchange is done, years from now, that's going to dramatically affect, obviously, access and desirability of properties in that area, and even more growth. I mean, that interchange can't help but produce even more growth in that area. What needs to be done between now and then to get a handle on that before it comes upon us and winds up creating the problems like we've seen on Nine Mile?
Mm-hmm. Well, so the properties north of the interstate are already in a sector plan, which did already envision that growth. You know, there are some pretty stringent requirements in that sector plan in terms of, like, the property has to be 50% in conservation and things like that. But there was already a look taken at that potential growth. There are, you know, the Woodland Parkway, I believe it's called Woodland Parkway, which is a pretty substantial road that would go north and connect up to Highway 29 north of Quintet. So there was already some thought put into that development north of the interstate. And so, you know, from that perspective, I think there's an opportunity. There would be like town centers and other things that would be along the way. You know, it's one of those things where these types of developments, in terms of developing, you know, a large area, takes 15, 20 years,
yeah,
you know, and sometimes it's hard to see that future development. If you go to Tallahassee and you see Capitol Circle, which circles the entire, you know, county around the city of Tallahassee, it's a fantastic road to travel. It's a very easy road. I mean, look, there are a lot of lights, and so you do have stop and go. But on the other hand, in terms of the way that they've developed the urban development, it was actually a really great way to provide, you know, a beltway around the city. We haven't really done that in our community to the extent that it would have been great for us to do that, which means that limits our major arteries, Nine Mile Road, Highway 29, you know, places like Kingsville Road, where it clearly needs to be widened,
right,
because of the development. It just gets harder once you have, you know, people that are committed to the community and live there and don't want their community to change. And so So that's why having these roads before you do that development are so key. And so I'm hoping that as we continue to talk about the Beulah Interchange, we're able to also talk about those roads that go north through the west side of Escambia County up toward Highway 29.
Janice, one of the good news notes that I don't think has been, I mean, I've been telling people, but I don't know that everybody else has necessarily been covering this, is when it comes to coronavirus, like locally, we are in about as good a shape as you could possibly be in. We are at a really, really low number of current hospitalizations at 43. The weirdly and wonderfully, it's been 11 days since we've had a report of death in Escambia County, and Santa Rosa has only had one or two in that same time frame as well. And I guess the hospitals are only meeting with the community leaders like every other week now. Are you seeing anything other than basically good news for us locally?
That's all I've seen. Now, I will tell you, you know, I am hoping to communicate with our employees. I was trying to get past Zeta because I do want everyone to stay vigilant, you know.
Absolutely.
I think people have become more cognizant, you know, of kind of staying away from each other, a little bit of social or physical distancing, and, you know, washing your hands, hand sanitizer, and masks when you're in large gatherings. I think that has all attributed to it, but I think it's great news. I just hope we maintain it. You know,
right.
We didn't have the spike necessarily after school went in. We didn't, you know, there's just been a couple of big events where we haven't necessarily had the spikes, and I just think that's a great sign, but that doesn't mean we need to let our guard down. I did want to mention one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, I know debris has always been on everybody's mind, but I want to make sure we're going to ask everyone to get it to the curb by December 1st. That is our, you know, goal, so that we can get everything picked up before Christmas. So so when we say December 1st, we mean get it out by December 1st, because once these guys come down your road, after that, they're done. So anyway, I want to get that
Absolutely.
Drilled into everybody's mind. December 1st is it, because, you know, people are calling us and saying they've never come down our road. Well, then when I pull up all the GPS maps, they've been down some of these roads four or five times.
Yep.
And so, you know, maybe you didn't have it on the curb when they came down, but they did come down your road. And so, and that's not every road, but I'm just saying after December 1st, we're not going to have another, there won't be another pass.
So,
there will be December 1st. They will come down the roads, and that's it. So,
no, so just to make sure people understand what you're saying is, it's not that they will come down your road December 1st, but it's that if you put it out, if you don't have it out by December 1st, we can't guarantee they won't come and before you put it out. So, and you know, they're going to get
Correct.
It between the 1st and Christmas, but make sure you have it out there on the 1st, because you don't want to put it out on the 12th and miss the time they came on the 9th to your vicinity. So that's a great news note. And I know everyone, including your office, is looking forward to being done with that third pass finally. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, thank you again for always joining us on Thursday morning. Thanks for the good information, and thank you for the, I think, largely unrecognized work that you have to do. We appreciate what you do.
Well, I want to say this. I cannot do what I do without the thousands of employees, dedicated employees that we have that come to work every single day to serve our citizens.
Amen.
So I just continue to say that about them. They are amazing employees, and they are completely committed to our citizens and making sure that our citizens have a better quality of life.
Amen.
And so they're the ones that I appreciate.